Now, if we practice, we are invisible. We will discover that we slowly find a capacity to walk in the invisible kingdom of God. It's not a game anymore. It's one of the 10th wonders of the world. Man thinks he's a visible creature, and man doesn't know that he's hypnotized. And I don't know how myself, but one day, this hypnosis for you has no meaning anymore. You may find you heal a thumb or a toothache. You find some kind of evidence that something that was a problem disappears. And you begin to think to yourself, you mean, oh, I can't have been hypnotized. Impossible. But the world was hypnotized, not just you. There is not a soul on the earth who is not hypnotized into the belief that he is made of matter. Can you find one place in the Bible where God boasted of making man of matter? Now, God boasts of making you of his spirit. Can you be matter and spirit? Do you see what a radical change is expected? God says you are his spirit. That means right this moment where you're sitting is a lie. And where I'm sitting, it's the same lie. We each have the capacity to inflict horrors upon one another. But what do we have the capacity for? Inflicting illusion upon illusion. Some of us have reared a degree of ourselves out of that illusion. Possibly you have, and you're aware of it. And if you are aware of it, you know the excitement ahead. Each of us is to rise out of the illusion of form. We can't go into the streets and talk about it. That's how you stay alive. There's nothing of you to die. Spirit doesn't die. The only thing that can die is flesh. Jesus stood before a man named Nicodemus. You must be born again. Can you imagine saying that to a man 2,000 years ago? Nicodemus was smart, an elder in the church and all that. How can I be born again? Well, may as well say it today. How can you be born again? Born of flesh is one thing, born of spirit is another. You must be born of the spirit because you are the spirit. We have a problem that has been on earth since it began. We have to be born again. And how are we going to do that? We have to know that we start off with the assumption that all we can be is spirit. We can't be spirit and matter. If you can't be matter, and you walk around in a material sense of body, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? If we can't be matter, how can we give birth to a baby? We think we gave birth, but that baby is going to die, disappear. We don't give birth to babies. We find a way, just as the mother and the daughter gave birth to the Immaculate Conception. They didn't give birth, they conceived it immaculately. We reach in our understanding deep. We reach beyond our understanding because it's not enough. We have to come to a realm of light. We have to find that light. We have to know eventually that I am the light. We have to make up our minds that I look material, I feel material, I weigh like a material. My friends know me as a material being. And my secret is, I am the light of God. There is nothing else I can be. I have every quality that the Christ demonstrated. And I can show these qualities to a degree as I eliminate the belief that I am a material being. And that's what I must dedicate my life to if I want to live. Otherwise, I can't get into the swim in which truth is the only thing that animates me. So now, a different kind of life becomes a necessity. I am going to live as the light of God. And even though I may think I can't and it's too difficult, why don't I take a second look at the teaching that Jesus gives us? Perhaps in his teaching I can find some way of walking in the light and not in the material universe. Why can't I start to study things that I haven't gone into for fear that they will be on me? Why don't I find some area of life that I convert into what it is? The living light. And in that area, I apply everything I know to uphold a belief that this is light. If I find there is an illness, I convert it to light, knowing the light is what it is, not the illness that it appears. But it doesn't disappear quickly. I'm not going to change my opinion. I stay with what I know to be true, that light cannot be sick. The only thing that can be sick is the illusion. Light cannot hurt. Light cannot even die. Why don't I bless everyone I know with the knowledge that the light of God is the truth of Him? Why don't I bless my children with the knowledge that they are the invisible light of the Father? Why don't I keep that knowledge to myself while I'm doing it? That each one, whether it's my child or my husband, my wife or my friend, each one is a light of God, although invisibly. Suppose I had the knowledge that you are the light of God. Suppose I was around you a lot during the day, and I see you only as a light. I think of you as a light. I treat you as a light. I never accept you as anything but the light. Can you be sure that you wouldn't feel the difference? Know the difference, and then develop that difference? And then suppose, instead of you waiting for me to see that you are the light, you accept yourself as the light. And start now, or start before now. Have exercises with yourself in which you say, I am the light of God. And that's the truth. That's the truth. You know it's the truth. Why not stay with it a little longer? 15 minutes a day. I am the light of God. And follow yourself through the day. In that 15-minute period, see yourself going here, there, and everywhere. Until you become aware that the light is doing it. Not a physical being. Now that's an exercise you have to do. You have to convert yourself into the light. You say, this, I feel too heavy. Oh, come now, the light can't be heavy or light. I don't feel smart. That's not the light. The truth of the matter is that all the things you think you are, if you don't think you're the light, are wrong. Because you are the light. Well, who's that walking down the street? Well, that looks like me. But I know no one can see me because I am the light. Now let's go into this. Let's cleanse ourselves of everything we think is wrong, because the light isn't any of that. And you'll feel like you've lost 1,000 years, truly. That you lost all the things that you thought were wrong with yourself. You thought, oh, that was a material belief. Not a word of it is true. I recommend that you convert your world into the light of God. The light is not handicapped. The light has no germs. The light is always who that individual is. The full light. And if you can know yourself as the full light, and anyone in your circle of friends, you'll find you have the capacity to extend it and know everyone as the light. But you're not going to do that overnight. But you can start. If I were with you and you were taking about 30 days of learning and practicing, I am the light, we would see in 30 days something that would happen to you. It's not that you would necessarily change your appearance. There was something in you that would be different. It would believe what it was saying. And as the belief deepens, that belief will have an effect upon the visible. Because the visible is only an expression of what you believe. Are you willing to try walking in the light? This is the way we are going to approach the Immaculate Conception. As we walk in the light and believe the truth of the light, as the Bible tells us to do, we will lose a certain degree of the material concepts of life. And in a flash, I imagine you've already had that flash, we will discover that everything is light. There isn't anything in this universe that isn't the light. It's either the light or the illusion of form. Now you may feel that I don't have this and I don't have that and my body is giving me problems and this and that. Suppose I were to say, you are the light. I don't care what you see and what you think and what you feel, you are the light. Now, can you practice it to yourself? Do you have to go out and broadcast? No. You know that God said, you are the light. You don't need any guarantees from anybody else. God said, you are the light. And I have never believed God. I've been too busy thinking I am the darkness. I am the mutilated form. I'm this and I'm that. But my Father, who put me here, says, you are the light of the world. The physical form is not there. The light is there. And as I know that I am the light, as you know that you are the light, you are helping to establish the truth in your consciousness, the truth that will outpicture the truth. The important part of this is, do you believe what the Father has said? Can the Father say you are the light and you be something other than that? You see, the help that we can receive from the Father. The Father says, "You are my son. You say, I am not. Look at me. If this is how your son looks, I don't want to be your son." Or you say, "I can accept any word that the Father says." If the Father says, "I am his son," then what I think of myself, how I look, how I feel, what I do every day, can't be true. Be reborn to what you are, instead of how you appear. I'm taking it upon myself, therefore, to accept the Father's word. What he means for one, he means for all. I am the perfect light of God. No matter what I have, if I've got cancer or a bad heart, or it's not true. It's only true because my consciousness does not uphold the word of God. And maybe I don't know how, of course. And maybe I won't know how for a while. But it is the truth. And it is my job to live the truth. Now, we are all the image and likeness of God. We don't appear that way, but we are. And each of us must necessarily then examine himself. What is the image and likeness of God if it doesn't look like me? Well, it certainly isn't form that's going to die. So I've got some work to do. The form that dies is not the image and likeness of God. Now, after this form disappears, how am I going to establish the image and likeness of God? My work must be accomplished before the illusion of death strikes. When it does strike, I'm taken away, go through that burial. God knows how long, maybe quick, maybe slow, before I come back to start over again to establish that I am the image and likeness of God. And that's true for every single person. The quicker he learns it, and she learns it, and says that this form is not the image and likeness of God, the quicker he's going to say, "Well, what can I do to be the image and likeness of God?" The trouble is, you can't do anything to be it, because you are it. You already are. But you can do much to know it and to believe it. So we begin with knowing it and believing it. Doesn't matter what my form looks like, how mutilated it may be. I am the image and likeness of God. And therefore, this mutilated form is not the truth. Is not the truth. The Father says, "You are as perfect as I." How can I take that? "Father, look at me. I'm this bundle of bones. You say I'm as perfect as you." Yes, that's what I'm talking about. You've got to get out of your visible self. You've got to know your invisibility. We could talk for 5 million more years. If you stay in that visible self, you can't be the image of God. So when I say you're the image of God, I'm saying your invisibility, the light of your being, is the image and likeness of God. Now you've got the visible self and the invisibility, the perfect light and the visible. Rearrangement of that light into form. You've got to come out of form, whether you're satisfied with it or not. If it's pretty or handsome or healthy, just look ahead 10 years, you know it won't be the same. Come out of form. I don't mean throw it away, you don't know how. I mean in your knowledge. I suppose we all make up our minds we're going to have a spiritual rebirth, but if we don't know that we've got to, we're compelled to, in order to be ourselves, then we haven't learned our lesson. We'll presume now that you and I know that we must have a spiritual rebirth. We'll even presume that some of us have started, because I know we have. Now we've got to carry this spiritual rebirth to its logical conclusion. And this is what we've got to learn. How can I finish my conversion from matter to spirit? And that's what we've got to do. So look around at your life and see, where do I have to put the emphasis? What do I have to do? What do I have to give up? Is it worth it? And the answer is very quick. Anything you give up to be spirit is worth it. It's very possible that you can have that $500,000 working for you, but you can be working on something else. The amount of money you have doesn't make you spiritual or not spiritual. Money simply isn't spirit. That doesn't mean you have to throw it away. It buys the necessities, the things you use, the things that keep you in the running and able to concentrate on being a spirit. And you'll find that there are many things you don't have to give up to live in the spirit. To live in the spirit is a way of life, an inner compulsion that converts your world into the qualities of spirit. Certainly there's no spirit in hating. So you try loving, and so forth. You find that it's easy to get the spirit moving inside you as you convert yourself to the things that are spiritual. The way you treat people, the way you live, your sharing. So many qualities you have or can have that have to do with spirit. And you can find that as you convert yourself into that kind of an individual, you're really converting yourself to spirit. It isn't you go out and you take something and say, that's matter, I don't want it, I'll change it to spirit. It's a slow development. There's nothing in spirit that is a negative. You can find the spirit in every step of human life. It's beneath the surface, concealed. The humanhood conceals it. And as you find the capacity to ferret it out, to dig in and find what is the spiritual truth there, and as you cultivate that spiritual truth, you'll find you're having a slow change of consciousness. I can't hate anyone because it hurts me. If I hate them, what can I think of? Can I call that spirit? It won't work. I find that if I don't love people, that I'm missing something in spirit. So I find I'm doing the things that build my spiritual awareness and avoiding the things that diminish my spiritual awareness. You can find places where what you do takes your spirit away. You've got to do the things that bring the spirit to you, make it active, make it visible to you. And as you live with these qualities that make the spirit visible, you feel different. It's so easy to look inside yourself and see what I can do to bring the spirit living inside me. There is no place in my consciousness that can be spirit and matter. No place. I've got to be the Spirit of God. It depends on you whether or not you're alert, whether you're trying to find out where is the Spirit that I'm supposed to be. Where is not the spirit that I'm supposed to be? How do I get from one to the other? You start thinking about it, living it. Now, I know many of us have made great strides. Years ago, you were one way. I see you now, you're another way. That's wonderful. We've still got some to go, haven't we? And we can make it because we have made a lot of progress already. Now we've got to find ways and means of making more progress. One of the big ways is to eliminate the material selfhood. Oh, I've got it down a lot. There's less of it. Still got more of it to get out of the way because it's really not there. And I think it's there. I've got to get it out of the way. Now, when these two women had to give immaculate conception to themselves, they could not deal in the physical world. They had to leave it. Because spirit is not in the physical world. Now leave this physical world and remain in the spirit. You do it right where the world is. Consciously, spirit. Now we're going to take 15 minutes a day. And let's stay with that idea now because the 15 minutes a day will give you life. Right now, we want to live in the spirit. I can't live in anything else and be alive. If I'm not in the spirit, I'm not alive. How can I live in the spirit? except by knowing one thing, that Spirit is my name. And when anything else enters my consciousness that is not Spirit, I don't have to accept it. Now, for 15 minutes, I know that's a lot of time to dwell in the Spirit, but when anything enters your consciousness that is not Spirit, you don't accept it. And it can be the kindliest thought, but if it's not Spirit, you don't accept it. For 15 minutes. As we do that, and we're doing it now, I have only kind thoughts. If there's an unkind thought in me, I gotta get rid of it right away. You're happy when you have kind thoughts. And that happiness tells you that thoughts are kind. Now, if a gloomy thought or a sad thought or an ugly thought were to cross your mind, you'd have to get rid of it immediately. And the best way to get rid of that sad, gloomy thought is to get rid of the mind that had the thought. Because if you live in the mind, it'll be half and half. Your exercise is to get out of the mind. Eventually, you will be surprised to find yourself out of the mind completely. Sounds like an impossibility. You know it isn't, because that's the repository of all the material thought. You can't get rid of material thought without getting rid of the mind which thinks the material thought. So now, we're putting the emphasis on that which is the bearer and the preserver of the material thought we're trying to get rid of. You can be a police force of one on your own mind. I'm not going to think good thought. I'm not going to think bad thought. I'm not going to think thought. I don't have the capacity to think. Nothing can enter my mind because I don't have one. Feels funny without a mind, but you'll find something takes its place. Your soul will take the place of your mind. When you're not using it, when it's not being brought to the surface, your soul will find a way of establishing identity where you thought the mind was. And this transference of from one to the other is one of the most difficult works you have to do. to have a quiet mind, silent mind, and no mind. And the soul will leap into the place that you have vacated. When you use the mind, you don't use the soul. When the soul is active, you don't use the mind. The mind is the cause of every problem that we face. Please work on the silent mind. Give it 15 minutes a day by starting out with changing the thoughts of the mind, and then finally coming to the place where the mind is still. And when the mind is still, really still, you find you're not ill, you're not deformed, you're not in need of changing. All that was wrong with you when you thought you were ill was your mind out-picturing what you thought you had. When the mind is not out-picturing, the soul can only deliver the image and likeness of God. Truly, that is the way you're going to eliminate the physical problems. They are all invented by your mind. I said the word invented. The only way you'll ever know that's true is if you, through the silence of your mind, can have the problem that the mind invented disappear. And you can. When Jesus healed the sick, those who couldn't walk, those who had leprosy, it never entered his mind that they were sick. Because there was no sickness in the mind of Christ. He never looked out and saw what we see. He saw people who had invented their own sickness. Everything they had was an invention of their own mind, plus the world mind and their mind. And he had no capacity for the world mind. and their mind. The Christ mind doesn't see sickness, doesn't know sickness, because it isn't there. And the Christ mind is your mind. When you see sickness, disease, all the evils of the world, you're not looking with the Christ mind. You're looking with your human mind. And you're not even a human being. God never made one. Anna and Mary reached into the kingdom of God, to the Christ. And did their miracle. When you reach into the kingdom of God and find that you have found the Christ, you find your miracle. Now everyone has the same capacity. We just have to know that we've got to do it, and how to do it, we can't miss. We all have the capacity to know the Christ. We find the Christ at the center of our being. How do we touch the Christ? You're wasting your time if you're thinking of the Christ. Your thought won't reach the Christ. How can we go deeper than our thought? We must. But the thought stands in the way. Therefore, get the thought out of the way. Eliminate the thinking mind. That's a hard thing to do when you depend on it for a living, isn't it? But your secret work is to get rid of the thinking mind. How did Joel do it? Well, he didn't have to go out and earn a living. living usually takes a certain part of the day, not all of it. You can earn a living, and you can eliminate your thinking mind part-time. When you eliminate it part-time, you'll find a way to eliminate more of it. You can't do everything all at once in one fell swoop. You've got to do it as you can. You've got to eliminate your mind. The last thing in the world you ever thought you'd do. But it's the one who's dreamed up all the evil in the world. All the problems. And God didn't make your human mind. So in a sense, you're coming above your human mind. You can use it down on the job. There comes a time when those 40 hours are gone and you have some time to work on yourself. Your soul isn't going to work for you down at the office, but you're going to develop your soul. Your soul is going to take you over the hump. Your soul is going to keep you out of the cemetery, not your mind. So you put your faith in your soul gradually, gradually. Somehow, spirit doesn't have to be told how to earn a living. As you work with spirit, somehow, spirit earns a living for you in ways you know not of. But your emphasis must be, I am building my awareness of soul, my awareness of Christ, my awareness of the light of God, because I am a God creature. I am permanent. Your faith in your permanence will be rewarded. You must make the conversion. In addition to the must part, it is a beautiful conversion. It is the most exciting work in the world. Every little ounce of progress is a thrill. We have one destination. There's no other. The kingdom of God, and I've got to work at it. I've got to work and work and work, and I love it. Because I'm getting to that kingdom. I don't know if I've got a foot in it or not. But you feel closer to it, and you know you're closer. It's not a game. Not imagination. You're closer to the kingdom of God with every ounce of spirit that you breathe. I think we've had enough for tonight.